الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى.
الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على البختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا بقبر أنت ساكنه فيه الحفاق وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of our Honorable Sheikh Arif Billah, the Rumi of our time, the Mujaddid of this era, the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah, Hazrat should say that before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And really, the sunnats are the life wire of this ummah. Every Nabi came with La ilaha illallah. Our Nabi and Islam's kalima is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Muhammad, one our iman, yaqeen, aqeedah is that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who was born in Makkah Sharif, is the Nabi and the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we all believe that. Together with that, also another of our aqidah and belief is he is the last and the final of all rasul. No Nabi, no Rasul in any way can come after him. He is Khatamun Nabiyyin. He is the seal of all the Rasul and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says that if somebody claims to be a Nabi and somebody asks him, what is your proof? Just by asking him, what is your proof, your iman is gone. In other words, this is not questionable. There is no possibility that if he gives some reasonable proof, we will be. There is no question. This Nabuwat has been sealed and closed. There is no Nabi that will come. And also with regard to Muhammadur Rasulullah, is also that in the lifestyle, the way of life, which we call the sunnats of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which our Jamaat brothers always make announcement, our success is in fulfilling the commandment of Allah Ta'ala and the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that must be also our belief. If due to our weakness we cannot follow, we are not following the sunnat, and nobody can follow sunnats 100%, everyone tries his best where he reaches, alhamdulillah, but don't justify ourselves. We accept it, it is my weakness. And also have that aqidah, that success, 100% success, is only in the lifestyle of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi used to stress that always mention one sunnah. so that the sunnahs can come back into our lives. And sunnahs are such, Hadrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatum says, sunnahs ka tariqa ashal tariqa hai. The sunnah way of doing anything is the most easiest way of doing it. For example, nikah, marriage, sunnah way is so easy. A boy wants to get married, usually his parents, they will think of a good suitable girl. They propose, those people accept, make nikah. Whether even nikah is made at home, but preferably in the masjid, in public nikah is made. After that, there is no reception by the girl's house whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. Boy's house, they have a walima. Once they have consummated the marriage, the nikah, they have a walima. And what walima is also no big affair and a big do. No need to call even 20 people, forget 200 people. You just call 5-10 people, house people, call some poor people, make sure, call some ulama, pious people, make sure. Walima is done. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's walima used to be while they were travelling in jihad. And walima used to be made there. Walima used to be made of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He should say everyone, whatever food they have got with them in their travel, people carry food with them, bring it, we'll sit together with the niyat of walima. Walima is made. Walima is no big deal also, or hiring a hall and or calling so many people. So simple. And then again, see this, the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It comes in a hadith. Inna a'azam al-nikahi baraka aysaruhu ma'una. That nikah has got the most barakat in it, in which there is the least expenses made, and the least effort that is made. This works exactly like a scale. A scale with two pans on it. Okay? So if the pan of effort and lot of spending of money and big dhoom dham, a big show of the wedding, if that pan is very heavy, then this pan goes back, the pan of barakah. And if you made no real expenses and no real effort for that wedding, then that pan is light, the pan of barakah is heavy. Once in Saharanpur, there was a tablighi ijtima. All that gathered, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi alayhi was present. Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani rahmatullahi alayhi, what great buzurs, he was present. So on Friday, he told Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi that we are two boys, Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi rahmatullahi alayhi, Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. And you got two girls and they match well. So let's make a nikah. There and then nikah was made. The father has the right, without asking his daughter also, that to make his her nikah. The father, Islam, Sharia has given him the right. And on the other hand, what a balance has been kept. The daughter has got the right, when she is informed of the nikah, and she is not happy, she has the right to refuse it also, that I am not happy with this nikah. So anyway, they made the nikah immediately. Nikah was done. Hazrat Shaykh went home, rahmatullahi, told his wife, the daughter, girls are married, and you should prepare now, tonight they will be going to their husband. Already the first night. She said, you should have informed me a few days before, I should have prepared some clothes for them. So, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi said, weren't they wearing clothes? Were they walking around naked? They didn't have clothes. In other words, the clothes they wear, that was sufficient also. For us, what a big expense, we go for shopping. Today shopping to Dubai, Karachi, we go South Africa shopping. We go where and where shopping for a wedding. Nikah is like this. And when it was made like that, see the barakah, Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullahi, work of deen in the whole world. Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullahi, the work of deen in the whole world. See the barakah in there. So if we make our nikahs according to the sunnah, sunnah ka tariqa ashal tariqa. It is the most easiest way. And then again, there is so much of barakat also in it. So much of goodness in every way. And if we follow the ways of the non-believers, big, dhoom, dham, weddings, what types of weddings are taking place? It's unbelievable. I don't know about Harare, but South Africa, the world around, what types of weddings? One place in the UK, they had a wedding, a nikah. And the bride, bridegroom, parents of the bride, parents of the groom, and Qazi Sahib, the Maulana was going to make the nikah. They went up in a helicopter to make the nikah up in the air. Before the helicopter came down, nikah was broken. One place in Karachi, and if you go, it's unbelievable. What big places they have got specially designated made only for weddings. The amount of lights, the gardens, and what and what, and how much people pay for them. So one nikah, over 3 days the wedding took place. After 3 days, all were in a doubt whether nikah took place or not. That the boy ijab kabul, the khutbah, and did you accept her as your wife, etc. And they couldn't decide whether, for what the whole wedding is, that didn't take place. So this is our condition, and millions of rands of dollars have been spent on weddings. So anyway, nikah, we should try and make it as simple as possible. And sunnat ka tariqa ashal tariqa hai. Maulana Mufti Taqi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi damat barakatuh say, sunnat ka tariqa ajmal tariqa. The way of sunnat is the most beautiful way. If you want to do anything, everyone likes beauty in everything. And the most beautiful way is to do it according to sunnah. Anything you do according to sunnah, the most beautiful way is according to sunnah. Like for example, our salam greeting, the most beautiful greeting that is on the surface of the earth is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala himself says in the Quran Sharif, تَحِيَّةً مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهَ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. It's a greeting that has come from Allah. Our salam is imported from Jannah. Our salam is not made in dunya. Our salam is made in Jannah. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came with salam from Jannah. And then, مُبَارَكَةً, full of barakat the salam. And مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. It is pure, it is clean. So simple it is. For example, if you want to greet according to the Western way, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you have to see your time whether you have to say good morning or you have to say good afternoon. If it's before 12, if it's 11:59 a.m., you have to say good morning. If it's 12:01 p.m., you have to say good afternoon. And mostly we make mistakes also, and we say, I'm sorry. We say good morning, I'm sorry, good afternoon. And that is their way of greeting. 12 o'clock at night if you greet. If you greet before 12 at night, it's night, p.m. So you say good night. But if you greet after 12, it's a.m. now. It's morning, but it's pitch black, dark outside. How are you going to say good morning? It's not morning, it's night. It's assalamu alaikum, easy. 24 hours, same greeting. No difference whatsoever. And then again, our salam, is one alim came from Bangladesh, and at the Darul Uloom he explained 3 beautiful meanings of salam. The one meaning of it, assalamu alaikum, the common meaning, peace be upon us. Our Shaykh Stan Maulana Mazhar Sahib, Dhamat Barakatuh, said that it wasn't long. He said when we were small, salam was common amongst the people, let's say about 50 years ago. And because salam is common, that means peace. There was peace in the home, happiness between husband and wife. Many of us think our old people, grandparents, how happy they lived. There wasn't all the sickness that we have today. There was no name of AIDS. There was no name of HIV. Cancer was hardly heard of. Heart problem was hardly heard of. Salam, peace from Allah's side, peace. Peace in your heart. Peace in your home. Peace in your wealth. People didn't have much, but they lived happily. They were contented with what they had. Today, with all that we have got, there is fights amongst the family. No happiness, because there isn't salam. The solution to it is not money. Allahu Akbar. Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ مِنْ إِسْلَامِ. We are a nation whom Allah has given honor in Islam. فَإِنْ نَتْلُبُ الْعِزَّ فِي غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. If we look for honor in anything else besides Islam, أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. Allah will disgrace and humiliate us. And that is what is happening. Are we short of money? Are we short of homes? What kind of homes? Are we short of cars? What kind of cars? And today, university degrees, we see our honor in this university degree, in that university degree. We see our honor in cars, we see our honor in homes, we see our honor in status. And if there was honor in houses, so you got a big double-story house, a triple-story house, 8-10 bedroom house, and you think, my honor, I live in such a big house. Okay? And then in that house, there is a mouse also. And the mouse stays free also. Okay? And if honor is because of staying in such a big house, the mouse is also staying in that house. So the mouse must also host that I stay in number 29, so and so street, and my house is a big mansion. And the house, the mouse is in fact more superior than us. We have to maintain the house. Just is leaking, we must see it. Some latch is broken, we must. The mouse is doing nothing. It gets ready food and it comes out at night when all are gone to sleep, it comes out and it eats what it wants to. So that is no honor that you stay in a big house. If we think our honor is in a big motor car, Mercedes Benz, BMW, whatever, Ford, Ferrari, all these things is our honor, then in that car there is a fly also flying. And that fly is struggling us also in the car. And that fly is struggling free of charge. But fly doesn't have to take out money and fill petrol. Doesn't worry what has to worry about the tire pressure. And if there's an accident, that the fly goes free. No, the fly doesn't get hurt also. We can get killed, we can get finished, but the fly, nothing happens to us. So honor is not in these things. Honor is in Islam. So if we bring Islam into our house, and this salam, that is peace, Allah, if we make salam common, our honor is making, today we are shy to make salam. And instead of salam, almost everyone, when we're speaking on the phone, what we say? Hello. And what is hello? Hello is made of two words, hell, low. So you're telling that person, you go to hell. And not only to hell, the lowest place in hell. And he gives you also this badua, you also go to hell. And the lowest place in hell. My one auntie, she couldn't speak English, from India she was. Instead of saying hello, she should say alu, alu. Alu is better than hello. Hello, you go to hell. Alu, if you don't get strength in your body, at least your stomach will get full. You eat potatoes all the time. So, what? Just imagine peace. What the greeting Allah gave us. And today we have changed it for what? And then, that is the meaning of peace. The second meaning he explained, As-Salam is the name of Allah. In Asma al-Husna we read, As-Salam al-Mu'minul Muhaiminul Azizul Jabbar. So what it means? May peace, may Allah be with you. As-Salam ma'akum. For example, the head of the family, the father stays in the house all night. He slept with the whole family. In the morning he's going to work. So he makes salam. So what it will mean here? That I was with you, I was looking after you, because people felt comfortable with me. You got the protector, you got the head of your family, but I'm going now. I'm leaving Allah with you. What a consolement and how nice you feel. Allah is with me. So I got protection, I don't have to worry. When Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu's father passed away, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abdullah the son radiallahu anhu says, the best consolement, ta'ziyah, when somebody passes away, we try to console them. The best consolement that person gave me was a person from the village, a Bedouin, Badu, from the village. He came and he asked me, Abdullah, your father has passed away. I said, yes. He said that he's gone by Allah Park. I said, yes. He said, who can look after him better, you or Allah Park? What can I look after? Allah is the only one who... He says, in that case, what you worry? The one who can look after him better, he's gone to him. Like, for example, say, we got a patient, Allah save us all. We can't look after him at home. We send him to hospital. And there they can look after. They got machines, they got drugs, they got doctors, they got emergency care, they got everything there. You say, what we couldn't do, they can do better. But what can they do also? But when he's gone by Allah, who can look after then Allah does. And Allah looks after such a way, Allahu Akbar. It comes in the hadith. When a person is buried and say 100, 200 years have passed, Who's going to remember this? We ever make dua for our grandfather of 200 years ago? We don't even make dua for our fathers and mothers. Forget our grandfather. Then when the qabr, there is no nisha, there is nothing. Allah says, now I take full care of my Allah Ta'ala looks after him. So how well Allah Ta'ala. So you say, As-salamu ma'akum, Allah be with you. And then as you are going, they tell you also, As-salamu ma'akum. You are at night in the house, you are safe, you are protected. Now you're going on the roads, accidents can happen. Robberies, hijackings can happen. You'll be in the shop. In the shop, robberies can take place. Accidents can take place. You can slip. May Allah be with you and may Allah look after you. What a consolement. This is in our salah. Eh? And then the third meaning, that as-salam is a guarantee of peace. When one person makes salam to the other person, I tell you, as-salamu alaykum. Mm-hmm. I give you guarantee of peace that I won't have a bad eye in your wife, in your daughter, your sister, your mother, your money. I won't talk tight about you. I won't talk bad about you. I won't run you down. I give you guarantee if every Muslim does that. Mm-hmm. And when we make salam and we are giving one another guarantee that you don't worry. And that person who tells you alaykum as-salam, he gives you also guarantee that don't worry. I won't interfere with anything of yours. Allah. What a beautiful greeting. This is our Islam. And then Mufti Taqi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi Allamah Tarakatuh said that sunnat ka tariqa atmal tariqa. It is the most perfect way. Many persons, everyone likes to do things in perfection, idealistic. It must be done completely properly. The only way if you want to do something perfectly and completely is the sunnat way. See, for example, assalamu alaikum, as I explained, wasn't that enough? More than enough. But just see, wa rahmatullah, and Allah's rahmat also. And not only that, wa barakatuhu, and Allah's barakat also. Our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi used to say, assalamu alaikum is singular, according to grammar, early grammar. Wa rahmatullah is also singular. But wa barakatuhu is plural. Allah knows the nature of His servant, And they like lots of barakat. Everyone, we want barakat. We want lots of barakat. We hang ta'weez also for barakat. And barakat. And anyone who tells something for barakat, he gets very happy. So in our salam, Allah put barakat. What we like and what we want, Allah put barakat in our salam. And in plural, Allah put it. So may Allah make a kiosk topic to make amal on every sunnah and really to make alive the sunnah of salam. Today it is like dead. We don't hear anyone make it. Think today, one day has passed. Think, how did I make salam? When I entered my house, when I left my house, when I entered my shop, did I hear somebody making salam? Whereas it comes in the hadith, afshu salam abaynakum. Spread the salam amongst you. And the word afshu is from ifsha. And ifsha means to spread. And the same word is used in the hadith, for ifsha is sin. To spread somebody's secret, we are prohibited. If you come to know of somebody's secret, the person made a mistake, don't really spread it. Don't talk about it. But bad people spread so much. And if you want to spread a secret more faster than internet, TV, all electronic media, is just tell somebody, I'm telling you a secret, but don't tell anyone. And see how that secret spreads. Or just you tell somebody and just tell you a woman. And see that the woman got ample time, whole day they on their phone. Okay? And they just phoning and on WhatsApp and all the social media, and see how that news spreads. But like that, we were supposed to spread salam. So much so it comes in the hadith, that if two people are walking, and a tree comes in between, and one is from this side of the tree, the other one from this side, they must make salam when they meet them. So much salam. So in our times, it will mean, like we are going from the masjid, we sit in the car, the driver from his side, we on the passenger side, we should make salam. But we don't make salam. If we make the salam, we will be saved of so many problems. Allah's peace will come down. So much salam. In the house, the salam. When we enter the house, we should make salam. But then we don't make salam. We are shouting, we are screaming, Hey, you didn't bring this. The wife says, I told you to bring that. You brought that. You didn't bring that. And he says, the house is still not clean and the children are not fed. He's shouting, he's saying, we're not making salam. So in the house when we enter, we make salam. When we leave, we should make salam. For example, the wife is preparing breakfast in the kitchen. We were in the bedroom. We came into the kitchen. We should make salam. For example, we were in the bedroom. The wife comes there for some work or something. When she enters, salam must be made very common. But and these are the basic things of deen. But unfortunately, we are very, very pet in these things. We talk of big, big lectures of bayan and big, big things we talk. But the basics we are struggling. Without exaggeration, think of it, really take it seriously and try and follow it up. Before eating, hardly anyone reads Bismillah. And more or less than that, after eating, just to say Alhamdulillah. Eh? We don't make shukr to Allah. What great nimets Allah gives us. What food Allah. We can say things are difficult, times are hard, but are we short in our food? How much of food Allah Ta'ala is giving us, but we don't make shukr. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, and it comes in the hadith, that when you eat by somebody's house, then after eating you must pay. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, pay up now. He said, what must we pay? He said, give du'as. We don't give du'as. We eat at somebody's place. For example, think that we all go to wedding receptions. We are invited. We ever give them du'as. We have to pay. And if we don't pay, then it is like we ate with, like if you go to a hotel, restaurant, and you eat and you don't pay, what will happen? You must pay. One time, one Hindu kaka, his friend told him, chalo, apre hotel mein jaye khaya. We will eat in a hotel. So the Hindu kaka said, mera paas paisa nahi hai, I have not money. He said, did I ask you for money? I invited you. So then he said, I'm still in my pyjamas. He said, this is our country, India, pyjamas, very much. I'm just telling you, it's all alright, you come. So they went, they ordered no jalebi, no khapre, no dood, whatever they ordered. They ate, the waiter came and put a bill for 6 rupees. So then the friend told Kaka, Hindu Kaka, paisa aap hi diyo. He said, I told you I haven't got money. He said, I also haven't got money. He said, now what happened? He said, the manager hits you. He gives you a good hiding if you ate for nothing and you didn't pay. So then, in that, one customer had an argument with the manager. The customer is saying, I gave you a 10 rupee note, and the manager says 5, 10. Many times it happens with customers. Hey, and some customers, they use the trick, and they try and rob you with that. So anyway, so Kaka quickly went, she got up and said, in your argument of 5 and 10, don't forget my 20 rupees. But the manager of the hotel thought, if I tell you, no, you owe, you didn't give anything. He thinks this person does this with all the customers. So he said, no, it's like you give 20, but this man only gave 5. So they ate for 2 times. He ordered again also another time. And then his friend asked him, you haven't got money for the first meal, you ordered it second time? He said, you said that the manager eats and he gives you a solid hide. Habbar mar. So he said, why eat half? Eat solid food. So he ate twice. 12 rupees. He took 8 rupees change anywhere. So that kind of robbing business is not correct whatsoever. But anyway, if you don't pay, you get a hide. We don't pay Allah. That is shukr to Allah. Who of us? Maulana Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahmatullah Ali, very great Buzur. But like Maulana Abdul Hay, he was a doctor. That he was so pious that he was known as Maulana Abdul Hay. And the Sheikh of Mufti Taqi Usmani, Mufti Rafi Usmani, he's the Sheikh also. What a great position. Once he had Dawah at one of his Murid's house after eating from Parda, he told the housewife, Jazakallah, you prepared very well, food was very tasty, I appreciate it, you cooked for me. He gave a dua, he praised her, he went away. But she started crying very profusely. Then her husband asked her, why are you crying? The Maulana didn't swear you, he didn't insult you, he didn't criticize you, your food, he praised you. She said, I'm crying because 40 years I'm cooking for you. Not one day you told me Jazakallah. And we also all think if we ever tell our wife Jazakallah, we ever told her, Ajima Shanda, food is very nice. I really appreciate you made this for me. So that is why I'm crying. So he learned this lesson. The next day they were sitting and eating, and then we started Jazakallah, very nice food, I appreciate it. Again she started. And also remember that a woman is a no-win situation. They always feel he nukta. They always got a problem, whatever. And they say the same about us, that with this man you can never make them happy. They always got a problem, whatever he thinks. So anyway, ask, now why are you crying? I'm praising you. She said, 40 years I've been feeding you, not one day you told me Jazakallah. Not one day you appreciated. But today when the neighbor's wife sends the food, you can't get up, you're just going on and on for yourself all the time. So anyway, think for ourselves, when did we ever make shukr to Allah? And if you think I'm just exaggerating, I hope I'm wrong, I'll be happy if I'm wrong. But notice it, when we sit to eat at home, we eat by animal place, notice and see who says Bismillah. Many of the children, Allah gave me tawfiq, I give them one bada, before I used to give them one sweet. So then I thought, everything, some problem comes out, this is not right, this is not right. I say, badam is safe, and badam is good. So I tell them, for small children, one salam, one bada. Okay, and no more bubble gum, no more chappies, you must just eat badam, that is good for you. And then mostly the parents are around the father. So they tell the child, say, Jazakallah. No Jazakallah. No Bismillah. Straight away in the mouth. If the wee parents are not doing it, how are the children? In front of Mali Sahib, yes, there's another thing. When Mali Sahib, Hazrat comes home, children got oversized burqa. And the slogan also covering the ears. And the minute they made salam, that burqa is thrown one side. The child don't know where is the burqa. Topi is thrown one side. So in front of Mali Sahib, we say Jazakallah. But every day we don't teach the child. If we taught the child all the time, automatically the child, we don't do it. And many of us also, I notice when we go in the car, we sit down, the parents will tell the children, read the dua. But they don't do it. The dua is meant for, or like in the wuzu khana, maybe, I don't know yet, the dua is written there, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and Ashadu an la ilaha illallah. The dua is not for the world. The dua is for us to remind us. All of us, perhaps in our houses, we got Ayatul Kursi, we got Asmaul Husna, but we don't read it. It's for the world. And the world must become proper Pakka Muslim and read Ayatul Kursi all day and night. And the world must become a Marifat of Allah and read Asmaul Husna all the time. No, that is a reminder for us. Even Taweez, we just hang it there, that worker must come in my shop, customers must come one way in my shop, and I share them with protection. No, our deen is not for that, our deen is for much more greater. So Allah give us tawfiq of understanding the value of sunnah and making amal on sunnah, inshallah. The ayat of the Quran Sharif I have recited, on which I want to base my talk. The talk is only starting stars. That was only introduction. And when we're eating and we get some nice sweet stuffs first, some savory, then we don't have a problem when the actual meal comes ready. So we are also inshallah. So anyway, this ayat Allah Ta'ala says, Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Each and every nafs. And nafs is that one that's got nafs, that takes a breath. Everything that takes a breath will taste of maut. A plant also takes breath. It also takes in oxygen, gives on carbon dioxide, etc. So everything that has got life, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ لَا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Everything what Allah has created has got life. But we don't understand that life of many things, but it has got life. So much so in Surah Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala says, the stones that fall from the mountains, they fall because of the fear of Allah. Water falls, water hasn't got sound. But when the water falls, that huge Victoria Falls, what a huge sound it makes. It's making the zikr of Allah. So everything, whatever has got life, it will taste of that. And actually this kitab, this address, is particularly for human beings and for jinnah, that we are going to taste of that. And in that, Allah Ta'ala, there isn't a single dot, one zabar, zayr, which is extra in the Quran. Only what was necessary, absolutely, the greatest eloquence of speech is in the Quran. And eloquence of speech, the demand of it is there must be nothing extra or less. It must be proper. So the Quran is like that. So when Allah told that everyone is going to taste of death, we all know it. So it seems to be superfluous. We know we are going to die. Why did Allah say you are going to die? If you fly, for example, you are going, flight is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And you're going with your wife, your children, you're going for Umrah, and it's now 12 o'clock. So you tell them, it's 12 o'clock. They know it's 12 o'clock. What you are telling them, get ready, we have to go. Yeah, it's already 12:30, we have to be at the airport, we must be there by 1 the latest. We mustn't delay. So you tell the time, you are not telling the time. The time they also know, everyone today, how many watches there are everywhere. Everything got a watch on it. Everyone knows the time. But what you are saying, get ready. So when Allah is telling us, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَارِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, we know we're going. Allah is telling us, be ready for more. That is the important thing. So in other words, from the child, in Hazrat Maulana Shah Shafali Thani Rahmatullah Ali's son, there was a couplet, a poem that was hung there all the time. جو بشر آتا ہے دنیا میں, whichever human being comes in this world, ye kehti hai qaza. Maut says immediately that person is born. Main peeche chali aati ho zara dhyan. I'm just behind you all the time. Two things go after a person. Maut is all the time behind us. And rosy. We are chasing rosy, but rosy is behind us. Allah has fixed our rosy. We came to Harari 40 days before Allah fixed our rosy. Allah give reward to Muhammad Lambat, he, mashallah, they fed, they prepared, but actually it has come from Allah Ta'ala. When we were in Jioban, when we were studying, our Dasturkhan tablecloth we had, and there was a beautiful poem written, غَمْجِينَ نَهُو مِحْمَانْ سَ, don't be sad and sorrowful of guests. Kha rahe hai risk apna, they are eating their own rosy. Allah is giving you the honor and you get the du'as and your name will be made. You made the da'wah, you fed, mashallah. But actually the feeder is none other but Allah. If Allah did not send our rosy down, no matter what preparations and how we forced ourselves to come, we couldn't come. And when our rosy was written, Allah Akbar, in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, he was having his majlis of these, and then one young boy saw a person very weird looking, funny, different, frightening look. And that person was actually just staring at this small boy, at this young boy. So this young boy, he asked Sulaiman, he said, who was that? And the way he was staring at me, I got frightened. What is looking at me? And like he's staring, he make a hole through me, the way he was looking at me. He said, that was Malakul Maut. He said, oh, Malakul Maut, so he's after me. So I better escape from here. Oh, Sulaiman, you, Allah gave you the control of the winds. You order the wind to take me to some distant, far away, some small island, and transfer me there. So Sulaiman alayhi salam complied, and there he was transferred. Thousands of kilometers away on a small little island. As soon as he reached there, he sees the same man come. He says, what happened? I left you there, I ran away from there. He says, what happened? I saw you there, how come you here? So he told him, Allah had destined your mort at this place here. Oh. And I was wondering that I have to take your rope so many thousands of kilometers away in a few minutes. It's just a little while, a few seconds left. And I have to take your rope there. How am I going to take it? That's why I was looking at you there. And you yourself, you made dua and you made the arrangement to reach here. God takes you on your place wherever. And how many cases like that? Just recently, we had an accident in Azadul Allah. Grant all Jannah inshallah. This one brother was returning over the holiday period, heavy traffic. So a friend of his saw on internet there's an accident in front. And the heavy traffic jam, the traffic is piled up for 2 hours. So he phoned him and he told him, there is also technology, say how where technology takes us. So he phoned him and told him, there is a traffic jam in front, there is an accident, you rather take the alternate route, the other back road you take. So he took a U-turn, and as he took a U-turn, there was this bus driver who was driving his bus in a mad way, pumping cars, and the whole bus went over. So he went to his mall. He was going away. But his mark was written here, and he came back to his mark. So mark is fixed. Mm. So كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every person, the time of your mark is fixed, the place of your mark is fixed, how you're going to die is fixed already, and that we've got no share in that. That is fixed. So in the message in here is that prepare for mark. Don't think that I'll be the one beautiful example Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi gave. That one person entered a fruit orchard, one little fruit in there. And this fruit orchard had four sections in it. And he told, you can go in this fruit orchard, you can take whatever fruit you want to free of charge, and the best fruit. But two conditions. Once your basket is full, then you can't take more. And you can't come back from any section. You just have to move front. So he went in the first section, what wonderful fruit he saw, export quality, wonderful, delicious fruit. But as he looked in front, the next section, he saw even more better fruit. So he said, if I put my basket here, then I won't be able to take from the next section. So I won't fill up here. So he went to the next section. There he saw, more better fruit than the first section. And then he thought now, as he looked in front, even more better fruit he saw. So he said, if I fill up my basket here, I won't be able to take off that even better fruit which is in Quran. So he went to the third section. Then it was mirror. And anything in a mirror looks even more better. So when he saw in the mirror and he saw the other side, he thought there is even better fruit. So he said, I won't fill up here, I'll go there. And when he went out from there, he was out of the orchard. And he didn't fill one fruit in his orchard. And he is not allowed to come back. So this is our example in this dunya. When we are small children, is the first section of our fortune. We can do good deeds here. We can do how many things here. One time, small children, if they also just have to sit with a tasbih. We, even the pious people in the house come, now you already want to become like a big buzum. It's time for you to play. Go play. Now what you becoming a big buzum? If he wants, the child wants to get up for fajr, we also will slip away quietly, that let him sleep, he's still small. Where is he getting up for fajr now? So that is the first section of Behlul, was a Majzoom. Majzoom is a person who thinks in a different way. His connection is with Allah Ta'ala. We think they are mad people. So one time, and he was a very close friend of Harun al-Rashid, the great king at that time. Was a very good king, just king. So Harun al-Rashid one day told him, Behlul, you like a mad man. How you carry on in that? Like all the time, only masjid, only tilawat, only zikr. You say, I can't do it. All the time, he's just in namaz. He's only all the time in ibadah. So he told him, you're a mad man. So he says, take this walking stick of mine. And if you find somebody more stupid than you, then you give him the walking stick. So he went. And Behlul carried on what he says, here the king is fixed. So he came and visited, his friend also, he came and visited him. So the king asked him, you found somebody who is more stupid than you? He said, not me. He asked the king, how are you? He said, I'm dying now, I'm leaving. So he told him, the king asked him, have you prepared? He asked the king, where you are going to, have you prepared for it? Like in this dunya, whenever you should go and tour your country with your ministers and everything, you should make all the arrangements for the accommodation, for the food, for the welcome, istiqbal, everything you should do. Have you said, Behlul, you're so stupid, how can a person prepare for that? And he asked him, have you sent provision for that? Did you make preparation and send provision? He said, Behlul, you're so stupid, how can somebody send for that? So he told him, King, I didn't find anyone more stupid than you. That you are going there eternally and you make no preparations for there for Akhirah. And you make no preparation to send provision for Akhirah. This is our example. Today ask somebody that what's your bank balance? We got the bank balance. From what's your investment? We got. Ask what's your bank balance for Akhirah. That we don't think about. What was your provision? What have you sent for Akhirah? What preparations have you made for your Akhirah? We came here, we found Muhammad Bey, we can't come in, we want to come and say, MashaAllah, welcome. Come here, make arrangements. Arrangements are made. But for Akhirah, what arrangements have we made? For our Qabr, what arrangements have we been made? It comes in a hadith, when a person passes away, three things follow. That was according to all pagan Arab customs. One was the family that goes with, and today also the family goes with. Then secondly, in those days, your wealth also should go with. And then, and your amal, three things go with. Your family, friends, etc., community, they take you to Pakistan, they bury you. Secondly, the money should go with that person, and your amal go with. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one thing remains there and two things come back. The family people come back again. And the other thing that comes back, the wealth, they bring it back. And only your amal remains there. And what is our capital and investment of akhirah is our amal. Let us think how much are we doing of amal. Eh? Basics are five times namaz. That's the basics. Eh? And besides that, like for example, today we don't eat three meals, basics a day. We eat how many more? Before Fajr, some of us have. After Fajr, we have again some tea. Then we have breakfast again. Then 10 o'clock tea. Then we have lunch again. Then 4 o'clock tea. Then supper. Then nightcap also. How much we don't have all the time. And in between, today we just go in the car, we're going from here to Balawalio. We're going to Victoria Falls. First thing, prepare picnic basket. And then on the way, patkos, we must take our food with. Our first worry is of food all the time. Our clothes, how much can a person wear? Eh? One time in one country we went, hot country it was, and we 3 o'clock in the afternoon, ladies program. So when we went upstairs and we came to that place, I saw there was a shoe rack. And the shoe rack was full with ladies' shoes from bottom to top. I got happy. Many ladies have come. Afterwards I found out not one lady. All their shoes is the house lady shoes. How much shoes are we going to wear? But when we see at home how many shoes we got, new shoes, old shoes, how many jackets, how many kurtas, how many shirts, how many trousers, full. And for akhirah, what have we seen? One time, one person came to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu and saw a great Sahabi of Allah, but he was one Sufi, he was one Zahid Sahabi, nothing of dunya he indulged in, simple, hardly the meager necessities of life he had. So that person expressed his worry that hardly the basic necessities you have got. So he said, actually I got food. So he got surprised to the other extreme that Allah says, Rasul Sahabi, and two houses, what do you need 2 houses? One house is enough for a person. So he said that other house of mine is the house of Jannah. And whatever I have, I send it away there. For example, you got little extra money, you can upgrade your stove in the house. But you bought a private stove for a poor family, you have sent your stove to Jannah. You got extra money, now you think I must change my bed in the house. And your bed is fine, nothing wrong. Instead of that, you bought a simple blanket for somebody. You have furnished your house of akhirah. Whatever you are giving to akhirah to somebody, you are preparing for your akhirah. And that Allah is reminding us that prepare. In the hadith it comes, الدُّنْيَا دَارْ لِمَنْ لَا دَارْ لَهْ. This dunya is a house to dug it up and take our houses and everything, our gardens, everything. It can be winter, but our gardens are green. For all the water, how many people haven't got water? But we keep it everything lush and green. So this dunya is a house for that person who haven't got house in Akhirah. He's making his dunya's house all the time, more beautiful. Living it up here, his clothes, his lifestyle, his holidays, his food, all, whenever any function, wedding, anything, life is gone. Somebody, even today when people die, picnic eating. And so many people complain that we went to the major house, we're going there for tea, it's tea party. When somebody passes away, it's a tea party. Everything we want all there. So the dunya is a house, enjoyable. And that was meant for the kuffar, to love it up, because they got no house in akhirah. We as Muslims, we got our house, furnish your house. If you are here in Harare, you think I'm going to immigrate, I'm going to Australia, I'm going to England, then you make all your preparations for that. You don't go there and you've got no preparations, you send nothing. So, and here we all going to immigrate to Akhirah. And what preparations have we made? Ask ourselves, what preparations have we made? So, الدُّنْيَا دَارْ لِمَنْ لَا دَارْ لَهْ وَالْمَالْ لِمَنْ لَا مَالْ لَهْ. And it is a bank, dunya's bank, for that person who hasn't got a bank account in Akhirah. We are just banking in dunya, and now we are earning just to make more money. And it has become a hobby. First, a person is earning in order to make a livelihood for survival. Now Allah gives him barakat, he's getting more. Now he's earning to build a house, to buy a better car. That also is done. Now he's earning more to secure his children, his family. That is also done. Now he's earning, it has become a hobby. Which Allah Ta'ala says, لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهُ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Don't become like those people who forgot Allah and the commands of Allah and Akhirah. They forgot themselves. Now you are earning, you are so busy earning, you haven't got time to eat, and you are proud. I'm so busy, I don't get time to eat also. But then for what are you earning? You forgot about what you are earning. You are earning in order to have a nice, peaceful life. But now, for what you're earning, you forgot that also. No, no time to go to a doctor, no time to enjoy your money, no time to even sit and have a proper meal, no time for your family. All the time, pay home, pay home, pay home, pay home, making money all the time. Allah didn't send us for that. So in this dunya, one time, one person was sleeping under a tree, peacefully, in the jungle, and the cool breeze was blowing. And then the birds were chirping in the tree, the leaves were rustling, and he was having a wonderful, peaceful sleep. One person came there, some university graduate, and all cropped in, dressed like a university graduate, shook him up. What are you doing? He said, you seem to be such an educated person. Can't you see what I'm doing? I'm sleeping. I'm peaceful, I'm resting. You can't see that also. Can't you understand that? He said, no, you mustn't sleep, you mustn't rest there. What must I do? He said, you must be constructive, you must be productive, you must be workaholic, you must work. What are you sleeping and just resting? You must work, you must earn in there. What must I do? He said, you must get a chop. And you chop wood, and then you go and sell. And then he said, what will happen? You'll make money. Then when you get more money, buy another chop. Then you hire somebody to work for you. Now you'll be a big entrepreneur, you'll be a boss, you've got somebody working for you. Buy another 10 choppers, you've got 10 people working. Then you buy a truck, and now you are selling wood on the truck, now you are making big money. Then soon you'll have 10 trucks. Then you'll build a big office for yourself, and you'll furnish your office, and it will be smart and up to date. Then you'll build a beautiful house, then you'll get married, then you'll have your wife and children. And then, he said, then you live peacefully. So he said, what am I doing now? Am I not living peacefully now? Just to bring me back there again, you will keep me in this long kutuka, and bring me back there. I am living peacefully. And in that, now when I'll have big house and big money and all that, I'll have people who are jealous. My family people will become jealous of them. Now somebody will keep on asking me for money, and I won't feel like giving them. Enemies will come. They will ask me for loans, and I know they're not going to pay it. Now their enemies will come. Now crooks will be behind my back. Then all the time anyone walks in my house with a briefcase attached, I think he's the receiver, man, text man. Then my blood pressure will go up. Then my sugar levels will go up. What I need all that for? I'm living peacefully. And so we don't understand what is peaceful. In fact, the Jewish protocols, they have declared in their protocols, one protocol is, we will deceive the people, we will beguile them, mislead them, that to have the things of comfort, and that is comfort. And Maulana Thani rahmatullahi alayhi has written, the things of comfort are something else, and comfort is something else. For example, to easily understand it, a thing of comfort is a bed. But comfort is sleep. Sleep and a bed are two different things. Today a person is sleeping on his nice comfortable mattress, everything is in order. One khiyal sharif thought comes in his mind that I must change my mattress. I must buy a new mattress. Today I saw in the mall was stupendous, having new kind mattress, king. Not today, not single, not three quarter, not double, not queen, king size. And this king size mattress, we all know, I'm a big man, I got a king size mattress. Now the poor wife is in one corner and the husband is in one corner. When it's a small mattress, even if they got a fight, they touch little and they make friends again. They make it up. Now she's in her world, he's in her world, but now we are big people. May be sleeping on a king-size mattress, and I think I'm a king sleeping on a king-size mattress. Anyway, now the new mattress came, now the base has to be also new, then all the linen must be new, that old linen, that's not going to suit yet. Now the curtains are old-fashioned, now put new curtains. Now the carpet is all shorn, it's not shorn in work, but now it looks like that, put new. Now you must paint the room also, now your bedroom is made up. Now the kitchen, the wife says, what about the kitchen? Hey, that is my paradise, the kitchen is a woman's paradise. Now you make up the kitchen, now you're going over your budget, you haven't got money. Now you're going to lend money from the bank to do this. Now you made up the whole house, now the garden must be also made up. Now your car must be also changed, you can't use that old car of yours. Now your friends also have to change. So your old father, mother used to come, the old-fashioned people. Now we need young people must come visit, and we have young friends. And we go, everything has changed. Now you can't pay the money. You went over your budget, you went over your limit, you can't pay. Now the bank is coming to reclaim. All the people that are coming to repossess your car now. Everything that one thought, wait. And when you just live with your simple life, you are sleeping peacefully. And now with all those things, you bought a new mattress to sleep peacefully. But the new mattress is the cause for all your sleep to go. Now whole night you can't sleep. The highest rate of suicide, according to WHO, World Health Organization, is the rich countries. The poor countries, hardly any suicides. They got what and what haven't they got? Everything. We were here in Katima Molino, Imran is building a musalla in the location. So it took us. We saw this many times, but it came to mind. In the location, if you go here also, 10, 11 o'clock also, you see all the people sitting around the tree. On the chairs, they are sitting, they are talking, they are peaceful, comfortable. And we work the whole year to get a holiday. Then we go to a hut somewhere, they are living the whole year in us. And then we go, for once in a year, 1 week, we go and sit. We get up 10 o'clock, we have breakfast, we sit under the tree, we have some rest, we talk. The whole year they are doing this, without earning. And we earning so much once a year. Then we have to have a bride. They are having bride every day. And then we have to cook a poultry course. Clay pot. They cooking every day. So we are fooling ourselves. We are thinking we are earning so much, and we going for a holiday and to prepare for the holiday and to go and just as I mentioned of the brothers of Azad, but gone for a holiday, you have to return home safely. And they are doing holiday all the time, peaceful, and they haven't got this rat race which we have got. And worse than yet, going to see in Paris, going to see in London, we think they are very advanced, 7 floors underground, in the basement, the trains that are going, this train running this side. You see one person off the train, running to that train, off that train, running to, just running all the time, no peace of mind. And compare a young girl, for example, say 20-year-old girl in Europe, she goes to work, her dressing has to be like that. Her wardrobe has to be like that. Her cosmetics have to be like that. And she's rushing. And she has to please the people at job. Make them all happy. What pressure, tension. Getting to job is so much tension. And compare her to a 20-year-old girl in the village. She gets up peacefully 9 o'clock. And then she prepares, cleans the house. No tension. If we know what quality life is, we have been deceived by the Jewish protocols. That we have been made, that we have been made to believe, and we are working for it, and it's our aqidah that have things of dunya, you got peace. Things of dunya are something else, peace is something else. One time, one king was sitting in his palace, and he saw an ordinary person like a vagabond, a hobo, a person of the street. He came in front by the palace on the pavement, on the footpath, and he opened his big tabla, big amama, and he took out 2 thick naan ropes. And he ate it, and he drank from the cardboard carton water, and he put that big amama of his as a pillow on the ground, on the pavement. And before he reached his pillow, he was falling, not only fell asleep, he was snoring. And he was having a peaceful, and the people walking, but he's not disturbed about it. The king said, if I can get 2 minutes sleep like this, I'm prepared to give my whole kingdom. And how many of us, big houses, but no sleep. Worry, tension, pressure all the time. And these people, they enjoying their life. We are being fooled by the things of dunya. We think we got things, and none of the things are going to come in the khabar. Nobody's house till today. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that never ever did we hear that Allah Ta'ala told Malakul Maut or Jibreel Alayhi Salaam, this person, how he loved his house and how he looked after his house and his garden and how he looked after his car. So when he dies, put it in the khabar. Nobody's car will get in the khabar. Amal will go. But we haven't got time for it. So Allah Ta'ala says, Kullu nafsin dha'ifatul maut. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَقَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And you will be given the reward of all your a'mal in the qabr. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَقَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And like our Jamaat brothers also announced, a'mal ne hamari kamyabi. That our success is in a'mal. But many of us don't pronounce it wrong. And we say that a'mal. That maal, three more money, maal mein kamyabi hai. Ke jitna zyada maal aaye, to isme kamyabi hai. No. Maal mein kamyabi nahi, a'maal mein kamyabi hai. Success is in our actions, in our a'maal, our namaz, our tilawat. And more than let me tell you, more than our a'maal, many of us, we become pious, we start reading 5 times namaz. Give our zakat, keep our alhamdulillah, that is for us, we have to. But more important than that are the inside qualities of the heart, which are called sifat. For example, the most important is iman. Ikhlas is so important. All the tawadu, humility is so important. If, for example, a person makes all amal, namaz, tilawat, zikr, hajj, everything, but no iman he has got, he's a munafiq, he's all zero. Or he does all that, he's a mu'min, but he's doing it for show, ikhlas, for riya, to show people. He's zero, and zero plus zero equals?
Zero.
Zero plus zero plus zero?
Zero.
And 100 zeros plus equals? Zero. So one under iman. So we don't worry about iman. And you put ikhlas in, if you got iman also, but no ikhlas, then also all that is zero. And you put ikhlas, you did it only for Allah. Now you put one amal only. How much if you take? 10. Another one? 0. 100. Another 0? 1,000. Another 0? 10,000. Another 0? 100,000. Another 0? Million. It's just gradually increasing. But we don't pay any attention to sifat, to the inside quality. Very good, we must 100% topi, beard, kurta, burqa for women, namaz, tilawat, but that's not the end of it. That's not even the start of it. Start of it is iman on Allah. And in today's times when the Shias are making so much, Qadianis are making so much effort, Salafis are making so much effort, if your iman is not there, what is there? You can do all your amal, but if your iman is not intact, and today at schools and universities, we don't know what our children are learning at school. We are just happy they're going to school, they're getting matric, then they're going to, and what we say, that without matric you can't get rosy. So matric is your Allah, matric will give you rosy. And tell matric, where were you getting rosy from? A child who is 17, 18 years is at school, boy, girl, they're getting their rosy, they don't even have to think where we're going to get our breakfast. After you get your matric, now you have to worry, I must make my breakfast. I must get my lunch, I must pay my rent, I must get married, I have to look after my wife, I have to look after my children. But tell matric, you've got no worries whatsoever. So this is a complete birth, a false thing. Allah alone is Razzaq. Today, many, many of our good Muslim people, it's on our tongue. If you haven't got matric, you are lost. Hey, if you don't have university degrees, and what are these university degrees? We have seen so clearly, especially in Pakistan, Karachi, probably throughout the world, everywhere, South Africa, it's in the whole world. Today, more and more degrees, degree after degree. And then, a girl's married life, her expiry date of a girl is very short. If she didn't get married by 25 people, they wonder why she's not married. Nowadays, you don't just get proposals anymore. So So her shelf life is very short. If she got married, but now she's getting degrees and degrees, not getting them. And what did Shaitan bluff us? If you haven't got degrees, that is common in Karachi, nobody will marry. And for the boy, if you haven't got degrees, nobody will marry him. And then you looking for degrees, you're getting degrees, now you have gone past the age of marriage. And the example of this in the Western world, Islamic, our lifestyle, a boy becomes baligh and responsible. Girl becomes baligh and can they marry? They are the youth and they are at the height of their enjoyments and their lust. And halal, they get married, they enjoy themselves and so on. But in their lifestyle, everything, until they don't get this degree, that degree. So one doctor who was 50 years old, now he decides to get married. And he's getting married to a lawyer who is 40 years old. Now they got married and they came into the bedroom at night and I'll open a bedroom scene, but it is censored. It is above board, the bedroom scene. So anyway, so the husband took out his right arm and he put it one side. It was a plastic arm. He says, I lost my arm in motor accident and I lost my arm. Then he took out his left leg, wooden leg. He put it one side. He said, make me mark, but in rugby I was playing and I lost my leg. So he's playing. So the wife told, please make me mark. And she took out her false teeth. Just now she had beautiful teeth, now bony. No teeth. And then she took off her wig. Just now she was a blonde, she was a brunette. Now she took off her wig, blessed off. Sanji, no hair on her head. Then she took off her, what they put in the eyes?
Contacts.
Just now she had green eyes, blue eyes and that. Now she took out her contacts. Now just ordinary simple eyes. Now two scraps in the scrapyard. They want to open kitab in nikah. They have to open kitab in janayat. They wait for janayat and namaz. What they going to enjoy? What is this kitab in nikah? That is for the 20-25 they got married. And they will open kitab in nikah and everything. So this, we are just deceiving ourselves. Anyway, Allah Ta'ala says that you will get your full reward of all your actions وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ on the day of the Qiyamah. Dunya is too small. Dunya is too small to get the reward of the alif of Allah. The dunya hasn't got the capacity to give that. That only in Jannah you will get. And many people, if you don't have the capacity to accept lottery is haram, gambling. But I'm not explaining the masala, I'm giving as how many people who won the lottery, the gambler, they gamble, and you won a huge amount, they died of hunger. The shock was too much for them. Dunya, you can't take what Allah is going to give. Man hasn't got the capacity to accept the thought of it, the actual thing. That will be for Jannah. Jannah will be such a place that Allah will give you. Yeah, we haven't got the eyes to see Allah. Only the eyes of Jannah will be able to see the beauty, the qudrat, the greatness of Allah. Yeah, Allah is wara'ul wara, beyond our, as the poet says, so beautiful, to mere dil mein aata hai, mere samajh mein nahi aata, main jaan gaya, yahi teri pehchaan. To mere dil mein aata hai, mere samajh mein nahi aata, main jaan gaya, yahi teri pehchaan hai. We can't fathom Allah, one bit of Allah with our brain. Only when Allah comes into us, we believe in Allah. And we find the love of Allah in the heart. Allah comes in the heart, but with our brains, we can't fathom Allah. To understand this, how small our brains are. One person, a king, his son had stomach problems. So he called the doctors, everything, he tried treatment, nothing happened. He called his great doctor, Abu Ali Sina, Avicenna, which is known in the West. He was a great, great physician, doctor. He treated, but sometimes it happened, no matter, you ilaaj kiya, bimari barhti gayi, the sickness just increased all the time. Then he called his big buzur, Shah Abul Hasan Farqani, rahmatullah alayhi. This is all what we also do. We try home medicine, it doesn't work. We try doctor, it doesn't work. We go to doctor, specialist, doesn't work. We call Malisha. He asked Malisha to make some ta'weez. He must make some dumb, etc. Now call him. And then, right at the end, when nothing works, we say, only Allah can help. Whereas the mu'min, the first thing he should say, only Allah can help. As sabab, Islam has allowed, you can use it. But don't have yaqeen on those things. Have yaqeen only on the zat of Allah. So anyway, he called Abu Hasan al-Thani. He started reading ayats of the Quran Sharif and blowing on the stomach of the boy. Then Abu Ali Sina, the great doctor, medical man, he said, what can this reading and blowing help? I know he's got a problem in his liver, his kidney, whatever it is, spleen, and that is the problem. And medicine has to reach there to rectify that. This reading and blowing, what is that going to help? So he looked at him from the side of his eye and he said, well, today I thought you're a very learner and a great man. But today I realize what a stupid donkey idiot you are. In front of the king, the king's royal doctor, and he insulted him like this. How could he tolerate it? His brain started flaring up. He started perspiring. His whole inside changed. He couldn't think properly and straight when you are angry and you are cross. How you change? Then he told, I only told you my some words. And I didn't even still blow on you. But see how much you have changed your brain. That your brains have blown up. You are sweating. And you can't think properly also. Just my words. And Allah's words and you blow. What will be the effect of Allah? Like that, this water. Japanese scientists went to Pakistan maybe 8-10 years ago. He explained, ordinary water, you put it under the microscope and you see the molecules and everything, and just read Bismillah and that whole water's composition changes. Today we don't read Bismillah when we eat, when we drink. That is the difference between us and non-Muslims. That we will eat, we will read Bismillah, but we don't read. While we're eating, we say Alhamdulillah. A person while eating, if he says, Ya wajidu jalla jalaluhu, that food is physical food for you. It gives you strength, your eyes, your brains, your body comes right when you eat food, you eat proper food. And if you read Ya wajidu jalla jalaluhu, that same food becomes spiritual food. Like with your food, you get strength now. If you are very hungry, you can't do anything, you can't think properly. But if you get food, now you start operating again properly. That's why many people, shops, etc., 10 o'clock tea, they make sure every worker must get 10 o'clock, because it's going to produce more. They invest one cup tea, but they take 10 cups of tea of work from that person. 4 o'clock tea, why they give in the offices and at workplaces? You give your one cup tea, but the amount of work, if the person doesn't get the tea, he's already gone down. He can't work properly. You give him one cup tea and you take the work of 10 people from him after that. So what's good? So when you get spiritual food, then we will have strength to come for Fajr. Now we'll have the spiritual strength to come for God, for all our namaz. Now you'll have the spiritual strength to stay away from gunawa of the eyes, of anger, of thinking bad about people, thinking low about people, finding fault in people. You'll get saved from them. So anyway, the result will be on the day of Qiyamah. And when the result is the day of result. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. A person who gets saved on that day from the fire of Jahannam and is made to enter Jannah, فَقَدْ فَعَزْ. Allah says that is the person who has become successful. Not the person with so many degrees and then go a step further. Not the person who was the best hafiz in the world. Not the person who was the most wonderful alim and gave the best lectures in the world. Even that, the person on the day of Qiyamah when your amal will come out. You got good actions, you got bad actions, they will be weighed. And a person whose good actions will be more, but fast. That is, don't be deceived by our clothing, that I look like a very pious person. Don't be deceived by our titles, I'm Haji Sahab, I'm Mali Sahab, I'm Manana Sahab, I'm Mufti Sahab. Don't be deceived by those things. Our inside amal are going to come. And a person who is successful there, that is a person who is successful. Not a person who has big, big things in this dunya. It comes in the Quran Sharif, the tafsir of the ayat. إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ لَيْسَ لِوَقَعْتِهَا كَاذِبَ خَافِضَةُ رَافِعَةِ. One of the names of the day of Qiyamah is خَافِضَ رَافِعَةِ. However, there have been many people who are high in this world, in community, in society, everyone looked at them as high, but the day of Qiyamah they will be thrown right down. And there were many people in the society and in the community, nobody should notice them. Nobody took care of them also. And they were to put high up. Okay? Our inside qualities, our sincerity. There may be a person here that nobody notices him. He comes for namaz quietly, he goes away, and he's just living his simple life, but he's got iman on Allah. And his iman is strong. His amal are strong. Yeah, nobody even, you have any doubt, you will never think of him writing him also. You want to make mashara about something, you'll never even think of asking him. But the Allah is going to go. And there will be many people who will be high in society. But Qiyamah's day, they will be dropped right down. So this is the day of Qiyamah. فَمَنْ زُحْزِعَ النَّارِ وَوْقِ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. And remember, وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah's words which are absolute. That things of dunya, first they are mata. وَمَنْ حَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ. Mata in Arabic refers a thing which you benefit from temporarily. Like for example, you are traveling, you went to a lounge, airport lounge. You sat there temporarily, you are benefiting it for 1 hour, you are going to take your next plane. And in that a stupid person, he says the couches are all old fashioned. Let me put new couches on the airport lounge. And the carpets are old fashioned. And there aren't frames here, or the frames are old fashioned. You once in your life you went to that airport. Like that, this dunya is a transit lounge. Hey, we say it's my house. One person went to the king in the palace, and he told the king, it looks like a musafir lounge for the palace. King said, you are mad or something. My palace, you call it musafir lounge. He asked, who was here before me? He said, my father. Before him, my grandfather. Before him, my great. Where are they all? They are gone. They only stayed here for a few days. They are musafir. Right? So if we can realize that our houses, no matter how posh we make them, they only do something kind of. We are staying here, next the children will stay, next their children, or it will get sold, somebody else will come and stay. We are just here temporary. So this dunya is only mata, a place to benefit from temporary. And what mata it is? وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Ghurur, deception, dhoka. If anyone deceives you. And one friend of ours, many years ago, he was getting married. So when he went and see the girl, they showed him one sister. When he married, they sent the other sister. Dhoka. Then they showed him the pretty sister, and they sent the ugly sister. So how cross a person was. He got very cross, and the family ties of the family till today are so rotten. They don't want to see one another. So anyone, a person who comes to your shop, A traveler, what you call them now? Yeah, they come and they show you sample this again. You say, very good, I think good price is also right. It's going to sell. Give me so much, 1,000 of this. And he sends you something else in this return. How angry you get. That how he deceived us. How he deceived us. So Allah says this dunya is nothing but a box of deception. It is dhoka. See, for example, any time when we sit to eat, especially when the ladies set the dasturkhan, they set the plates and they set the glasses at like a 45 degree angle, like they use the mesh protector to measure it, and everything perfect, and then all the glasses and everything, and the vegetable salads in the middle, they will put the salad dressing, they put mint leaf on top of it. And when they dish out, they will tell the man, don't rush me. Because they want to do it in style, they want to do it properly. Man, when there is the ijtima, jalsa, and we dishing out from the day, we just take the big dishes and we just throw. The woman will never do that. When they put it on the platter, then also they inspect it. This piece of meat must be like this. This must be like this. Everything they do. So, and after 20 minutes we ate, now it looks like a war zone. All the bones lying around there, all the fields, the tissues. It looks like there was a war that took place here. So this is the dunya, it looks so nice. We know how many of our youngsters, they play a game, Monopoly. I'm sure you also the youngsters play. Hey, while you are playing, somebody got a shock struggling. Somebody is traveling in an aeroplane, somebody is traveling in something. You are buying property, you are buying upmarket property, you are collecting rentals, you are building hotels, you are building motels, you are doing everything. And then somebody in the process is robbing the bank. Somebody bought toilets also in the process. And after the game of 2 or 3 hours, now all are counting up. I got 20 million, I got 50 million. You owe me somebody, you robbed the bank, you did this, you did that. Wallah, this dunya's life is nothing else but this. Hey, and with that monopoly money, you can't buy one box of matches. You can't buy one chappies. It's exactly this dunya that I got this, and then we are talking, oh, he left 20 million, he left 50 million. Well, that is nothing you can buy in the akhirah. And you leave it in dunya, in most cases, the children are fighting with one another. And lawyers, Jews lawyers and Christian lawyers, they are eating up everything. And you are sitting with nothing in the and case after case, daily, this is the occurrence. But we don't take reference. May Allah let us benefit from this ayah, from the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned the sunnah of dua, of salam also, and all the other sunnahs of nikah also. Try and bring those things in our life, and let us realize our life is not this world, our real life is akhirah. And Allah put us here to prepare for akhirah. Don't be deceived by dunya. We are living in dunya, we see the kuffar, they just carrying on in their wild way. Let us not look at, except for ta'aleem in the masjid. Make ta'aleem in the house. See the lifestyle of Nabi alayhi salam, the lifestyle of the Sahaba, of the pious people. If we're not seeing that, and we're only seeing TV, and we're only seeing the non-believers, how they are living, and how they are dressing, and what they are doing, we're going to get deceived. Our children are going to get even more deceived. Make ta'aleem in the house regularly. Make contact with some Allah wala, so that we can be reminded continuously. Otherwise, with one track, we will just be going in dunya all the time, and it's going to mislead us. May Allah give us tawfiq. Tomorrow morning after Fajr, we'll be here. We'll make, inshallah, there'll be a short program of zikr after Fajr. Try and attend also. And inshallah, after every namaz where we are, we're short program, 5 minutes or so, we will have. And tomorrow night will be in the Ridgeway. And the Isha is after 7. After Isha, will be the program. And our ladies' programs for the day tomorrow, try and send our ladies also, and let them also benefit, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Oh Allah, let us realize the great value of sunnah. Give us the knowledge of sunnah. Give us the love of sunnah. Let us practice on sunnah. Let us propagate the sunnah in the world. Oh Allah, accept us for the service of deen. And let the whole of deen become alive in the whole world. Oh Allah, let us realize that our object of life is not this dunya. We are temporary here, and this dunya is to prepare for our akhirah. Oh Allah, let us prepare for our akhirah. Give us the goodness of dunya also. Give us all the goodness of akhirah also. Make us successful here. Make us greatly successful in the akhirah also. Oh Allah, open our blind eyes. Open our deaf ears. Let us understand the truth and reality. Let us not be fooled by the glitter and glamour of dunya, by all the temptations of dunya. Let us understand reality, and that we have to prepare for akhirah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.